So I was working through the message, and a lot of you know this, me standing up here, is a long time coming. And I'm really excited to be up here. Probably as excited as you are scared that I'm up here. And I swear I took my medication this morning. And so I was talking it over with Pastor Doyle, and I was saying, as soon as I got my concept, I had all these ideas. I want to talk about this, and I want to use that, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. I. Then I went through this whole cloud where I couldn't think of anything. And then once that cloud dissipated, like around Tuesday, Wednesday, it was like God was saying, okay, now that we're done with all the junk you want to do, let me tell you what you're going to do. And I shared this with him, and he said, totally, every week. And I've talked about it with other pastors that I know, and they said, yep, weekly process. You get this great idea, you start pouring in, this is all the stuff I want to do, and I want to say, I see you back there, buddy. Thank you for coming out. He said, I have my ideas, cloud comes, God washes it away, and then here's the points that you're going to make. All right, so as I was going through, this one of the things that was changed was my opening joke. I told Kelly, I changed my opening joke. I was really kind of conflicted about it, and I know I'm going to make mistakes, but I want to do things as right as possible. Pastor always starts with a joke, so I want to start with a joke. And she goes, okay, and turns her head. I'm like, what? What's wrong? What is that? What? She goes, nothing. No, go ahead. Do your opening joke. And she's like, no, what do you mean? What do you do? She goes, sweetheart, you're going to be standing behind the pulpit, and you're going to be giving the message. How much does the congregation really need to laugh? So... That didn't really happen. It kind of happened, but I thought it was funnier my way. And I got a good laugh out of it. Nice. Loosen up. Let's do this. All right. So if you all saw the sign outside and you saw your bulletins, the title of this sermon is Threefold Strong, and it comes from a specific scripture, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And in the ESV, it reads, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Excuse me. People love to take the last part of that 12th verse. A threefold cord is not easily broken. When do you see that the most? Weddings is when I see it the most. So I'm answering for you because I had the mic. People love writing that in wedding cards. If you, the husband, are one cord and the wife is another cord and you make God the third cord and you weave yourselves together, you're going to have a beautiful marriage. You're going to live happily ever after. The happily ever after part isn't always true, but you will be woven together. And it will make your marriage strong if you and your spouse keep yourselves God-centered and woven together. There will be strain, but it will make it harder to break. And yes, it is appropriate for marriage, but it's appropriate throughout life. If you have any relationship with anybody, a friendship or a family member, and you tie yourself together, It will take so much more to break that cord, if it can break at all. The way this works, say a person can lift 50 pounds. You get three people who can lift 50 pounds at a time, and they can do the work. Some cords might snap before others. When you weave them together to make a single strand, those three cords reinforce one another. They hold them together. They strengthen each other, and you can get the job done, and you can actually lift more. Would you like an example? Great, I'm going to give you one. Let's say, I don't know, I'm going to try to come up with something that somebody might be able to identify with. Let's say you have a sanctuary full of chairs. Let's say those chairs need to be removed for an activity. Pastor says he rarely ever sees me without moving a stack of chairs, right? So I personally can spend all day removing the chairs out of the sanctuary. But if I have another person and another person helping me, and we are united together, working together toward the same goal, we can have this sanctuary cleared out, bring other tables in, and then bring more chairs in, set it up. Betty can look at it, tell if it's right, change it because we're wrong, and then make it right again. And then we're going to go on to move on to the next task. Whereas if I were to do it on my own, I get exhausted and I'm done. But three people or more folded together make for stronger work. And this is how we are meant to live this life. At no point that I see in Scripture is anyone to live without a support system. Maybe for a short time, in a short case, by a prophet or something, but look at the creation account. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, so on and so forth, and it was good. Second day, it was good. Third day, it was good. Sixth day, before sin entered it, before God declared his creation very good, something wasn't good. What was that? Yes. It is not good that man should be alone. And that's not just one guy by himself. He needs a wife. You know, that is, it is not good for him to be alone. He needs a helpmate. Yes. He needed Eve. And then they had children and grandchildren. We are meant to be surrounded by our family and our friends, particularly as believers. We are under spiritual attack. If you're not under spiritual attack, check your faith, because the demonic forces only attack those that are being effective for the Lord. Why break into a house if there's nothing to steal? I heard that once. It was really good. So, and the other one that I had was, I'm throwing out at you, is the unequally yoked. They like to throw this one out too. I don't have that. Yes. Do not be unequally yoked. They like to throw that out at a wedding or advice for dating somebody. But that's not just a romantic relationship. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership in many areas in life, has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? There's three areas in which the threefold strong cord and the equally yoke work. Practical uses
for at work. I already gave the example of clearing out the sanctuary. I figured everybody, well, most of us, we have experience with that. If you were to go into business with somebody, you're taking a gamble. You are risking your time, money, taking those things away from your family and investing in future. Why would you do that with somebody who does not have the same vision as you? If you are unequally yoked, if you and your business partner have different views of how things should get done, one is going to do something behind the other's back, and it's going to lead to strife, an ultimate failure. Does everybody understand what the Bible means when it talks about being equally yoked? Do you know what a yoke is? Yoke is that wooden frame they put on two ox or two horses when they're getting ready to plow a field. What this does is it helps keep the animal focused on the same target, focused on the Lord, focused on proper ways of attaining a successful business, and it keeps them moving forward in the same direction. If one starts to speed up too much, the other one slows them down. You ever work with somebody who's going way too far ahead of you, and you roll it back a little bit? Or if one starts to drag their feet, the other one helps to pick them up and pull them on and move at pace. You ever work with somebody who tends to drag their feet? Just saying. But we look at the yoke and we think of it as a terrible thing, but it is a team-building mechanism. Keep me focused on the goal. Keep us working together. Share the load. I am a believer and I'm moving toward the Lord, but then my partner is straying off because he wants to cut corners and sin and cheat people, it's not going to work out. We're not going to plow the field, for my example, correctly. So we're going to want to make sure in friendship and in, friendship, we can be friendly with people who are not believers, because how else are we going to share the word if we don't build a relationship? But if you were going to do anything with any serious type of circumstance that will affect your life, you are going to want to be equally yoked. When I make a decision, am I going to go back to school and start taking some classes? That's going to mean time and money away from my family. Am I going to invest that in somebody who not necessarily has my family in mind, but if I'm not going to do that with somebody who wants me to be successful with them or wants to be successful in the way that I believe we should be, that's a waste of resources from my wife, my children, my family. I could better spend that with them, at home with them, pouring into my children, spending time with my wife and supporting her. Threefold strong in life. I want you to consider two people from the Bible, two very different people. Samson was a powerful man, a judge, who used his strength against the Philistines. Although he was gifted with great strength, he tended to do things his own way rather than relying on anybody else, ignoring the advice of others, and even strayed from what God had told him to do. And he was famous for some great follies. In the end, Samson ends his own life in a temple of a pagan god, blinded by his enemies, surrounded by his enemies who had been mocking him. He was effective, yes, but these are the circumstances in which his life ended. Blind, acting a fool in a pagan temple, probably stripped naked, and he had to end his own life to kill these people. I need to turn off text messages for the for my tablet. All right, David, on the other hand, after he killed Goliath, when none of the other Israelite armies would, all the other members of the Israelite armies would fight, he meets the king's son Jonathan. At which time the Bible says Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan gave David his own robe, armor, sword, a bow, and belt. So what does this mean? There's David. Jonathan, the king of the sun, gave him all of his defensive belongings, the armor, the robe, and such, and offensive weapons, the sword and the bow. So here is David now in a strong position, and Jonathan, probably just wearing a tunic or something, exposed and weak. He loved this man so much that he was willing to lend him all his strength. Ever hear the expression, would give you the shirt off their back? That means they suffer the cold to make sure you have something. This is the type of friendships that we're going to want to form. We can't just rely on the relationships we build at work, because while we spend a significant time at work, we also spend significant time with family and hopefully with friends. When we develop our friendships, especially as believers who suffer spiritual attacks, we need to develop relationships. Although no man is perfect, no woman is perfect, we need to develop relationships where we can come together, carry each other's burdens, form 3, 4, 5-fold, or even multiple groups of friends. Bless you. And this is the Lord telling us this. We can carry each other's burdens. In the scripture where it says, where one man falls, woe to him who doesn't have someone to pick him up. There's many ways a person can fall. Physically, obviously. Spiritually. Ever fallen spiritually? Emotionally, and so on. And where would you be if you did not have someone to help you up? Yes, the Lord can help you up. How does the Lord perform in our lives? Often he sends another believer to help us, because we are fellowship-based, we are relationship-based beings from the beginning. It was not good for man to be alone. We need to be surrounded by our friends, our loved ones, our family and our friends. Friends being the family we choose for ourselves. So choose carefully. The difference in the relationship was that even though David was not perfect, he was willing to submit and take the advice and guidance of others. David made some mistakes. We can ramble off a few. The Bathsheba one comes to mind. He's famous for that. But he's also famous for so much more. How many times did the king hunt him down, and David could have taken his life easily? But recognizing that King Saul was one of God's anointed, he said, no, it is not right for me to take the king's life. He is still one of God's anointed. His time will come. Vengeance will be the Lord's. I'm throwing that in there. David made his mistake with Bathsheba and listened to the prophet who brought it to his attention. He went on to write some of the greatest psalms that are just repeated. Some of the most wonderful statements in the Bible. I know, I see you grinning. I know which one you're thinking of. And when he died as a man after God's own heart. For all his mistakes, was forgiven, begged for forgiveness. And none of us here are in a position to where we can judge him. Except those of us that can walk on water. Because we've never sinned. Raise your hand if you can walk on water because you've never sinned. I saw that. Yes, we will make mistakes, but we can still do the Lord's work if we adhere to what he has to say, adhere to the correction. He was tight with his people, the prophets, and his close friends. There's two other men I want you to consider, Paul and Timothy, the teacher and the student. Nobody is at a position to where they can say, that's it, I'm done, I can close my Bible, I don't have to study it anymore, I'm golden. Till the day I draw my last breath, I need to be studying the Word. Because no matter how long you study Scripture, there is always something to be revealed. Always. And there will be somebody, it could be a child, who has a question because something strikes them in a way, and the Lord will bring to your attention. And you can go, huh, don't tell anybody you taught me that, all right? So we always need a Paul in our life. Likewise, when we reach a certain point, we should have a Timothy. Even if we are new in our faith, the very least thing we can do is share our testimony. This is what the Lord did for me, changed my life, I am saved, and this is what he can do for you. You don't have to go into it. Any type of argument, you don't have to go into any type of proof. This is what the Lord did for me. I had a client once when I was a case manager. Monday morning, picking him up, taking him to an appointment. He says, what'd you do this weekend? I mowed my yard, hung out with the family, went to church yesterday, and so on. He says, do you really believe in that stuff? And rather than break out all my apologetic notes and go into a whole sermon on him, I said to the guy, look, I know me. And I know when I don't go to church, when I'm not studying Scripture, and when I'm not hanging out in fellowship with my friends, and I'm not praying, I'm a much nastier person than when I am doing those things. So regardless as to whether or not you believe it's true, you want me, as your case manager, going to church. I didn't even say that as a joke. I'm dead serious. You want me coming into your house to help you, to support you? You want me here on Sunday morning. Man, it's really dry up here. Excuse me. And also, yes, we want to be sharing with others. The more we know, the more we can share. It's always a learning process. The things we think we know, we can learn, grow and change ideas, understandings. Like, I want you to understand, when I talk about that, I'm not talking about the core points. God created everything, created it perfect. Man had a choice, we screw up. Jesus had to pay the price. We accept Jesus as Lord. Now we are in fellowship with the Father, and he has to set everything straight. If you don't understand that and accept that and accept Jesus as your Lord, come talk to me or the pastors or elders or anybody who does get it after service, and we will happily explain it to you, because nothing will make me happier than to add a plus one when I go to heaven. What do they say you can take to? What do they say they can you can take with you when you die? Nothing. It's not true. Another soul. Another soul. Not that I can take them. I didn't save them, but I could be instrumental in your salvation. And as Jesus is a carpenter or the he's a carpenter. He's a laborer, craftsman. Thank you. I was looking for the word. I just want to be a tool. I am a tool, and I want to be a tool for the Lord. Anybody in here have a favorite tool, a tool they know they can go to that'll be reliable, a hammer they know will not fail them, a screwdriver that will not strip? I want to be a reliable tool that the carpenter or craftsman reach into his toolbox and go, this one won't fail me. I'm using this one for my job to get this done, because that plank's got to be up on that wall and I need to stay there. When it talks about, like we joke in this day and age, two people lying together will keep warm. Everybody's like, well, you know, I'm just going to take my chances because I ain't laying down with other people, you know. But they're talking about a world where people traveled dozens of miles together by foot for days at a time. And the nights are cold. And you tend to camp closer together because you're knitted together. Body heat keeps you warm, not in a relationship kind of way, just it's thermodynamics or whatever. And also when it talks about attacks, we can be overcome easily. I don't care if you're an MMA fighter or whatever. You can be overcome if a gang of people come after you. It can happen. But if I've got two or three people walking with me, first off, I look like less of a target. And second of all, we got a bit of a chance to overcome. I mean, you want to rob me, you're going to earn it. It's just what it is. And the people that you choose to travel with along this road called life, you want to make sure are the people who physically, spiritually, and emotionally are not going to cut and run as soon as they see trouble on the horizon. Choose wisely. I had a buddy at that last church I was telling you about, saw this girl. She was starting to speak a lot up front, and she was singing a lot in the worship group. And he says to me, I'm really thinking about asking her out. Do you think I should ask her out and this, that, and the third thing? I said, you know, I really don't know her, so I can't say for sure. But you know what I noticed? Her Bible is torn up. Her Bible is well worn. I would give it a shot. Because if her Bible, if her mom bought her that Bible 15 years ago, when you open the page and see like, you know, then no, not so much. But
not just the spine, everything was broken. You know, the pages are falling out, and my Bible doesn't have Psalms. I lost that on the parkway. That's somebody who uses their Bible. Somebody who uses their Bible is a sign of a good life. Throwing that out there as a free tip. You don't have to pay for that one. But we know one another. When we travel together, we get to know each other's stories. We get to know each other's troubles. I'm not saying it's not a great experience when you walk through the halls at church on Sunday and you're shaking people's hands, maybe give a hug. Our church is awesome. Awesome. When it comes to somebody saying, I have a struggle, and people stopping and praying with you right then and there. Phenomenal. A lot of churches don't have that. What we need to do is take that to the next step. And we need to make sure that person weaves into our group, bless you, and helps us along. Because just because you prayed for it at that moment, the Lord can fix it in that moment, doesn't mean it will. Maybe the answer to your prayer is the Lord brought somebody beside you to weave into your group and help you carry that burden because you are now all the stronger for their support. Who do you have woven into your life to help you carry your load? Everybody in here, I will bet all the money in my pocket versus all the money in your pocket. If I was a gambling man, I'm not, church. But if I was, I would bet, gentleman's wager, that everybody in here has trials and tribulations. You good? I cast thee out. This message isn't for you. And are you able to get through them alone? Of course not. I was like, oh, I have God. With God, all things are possible. Yes. With God, I can do all things. Yeah, with God, without God, you can't do anything. They don't say that, but it's the truth. No, not at all. Without God, my heart can't take the next beat. And I'll drop right here. And then you can all work together to carry me out. I made the joke for you. Who do you have in your group working with you to keep you strong? I said, oh, well, me and my wife, we're the greatest team ever. I can say that. When God put Kelly and I together, you hear me say, every jar has a lid. I believe it. You ever see that strange person, and it's like, how did they end up with somebody? Every jar has a lid. Their crazy matches your crazy. Or maybe their sanity compensates for your crazy. Or vice versa. Stop laughing, Kel. Goodness. Hey, let me know when I start lying. Call it out when I start telling them a falsehood, right? If you cannot think of somebody who you are in regular contact, and I'm not talking about passing in the halls on Sunday, or just someone you see at your Tuesday Bible study, somebody you are in regular fellowship with, somebody you can text or call immediately, and they will get back to you as soon as they can, if for nothing else, just say, sister, brother, I hear you. What do you need from me? And it doesn't even have to be somebody who knows your whole story.
I can't tell you how many text messages I got this morning saying, Joe, I know it's a big day for you. I'm paraphrasing again. I'm praying for you. You're going to do great. All right, I'm naming Vicky. And Vicky and I had like an agreement. I would have the orders for the picnic last week by a certain day, and then she would pray for me. Like even people who used to go to this church text me that I'm praying for you. I want you to know that you're going to do great. And I know that there are, like, I can know that there are people praying for me, but to see that, I know that there are people praying for me. I know, Pastor Doyle said there were visitors here today. There are some visitors here today that are here because I asked them to come. Because even though I love my Trinity family, there are some people I've known a little bit longer than you guys, and I just want that extra support. I love you too, Little Thunder. Really dry up here. Hey. Threefold strong in marriage. I mentioned earlier we like to use that second part, verse 12. In weddings. And the reason is, it's true. I used it when I ordinated my cousin's wedding, explaining to them, him, her, God, if you're equally yoked, bind together, you can get through pretty much anything. And I can say this from experience. Kelly and I are going on 20 years of marriage. I know in this room that's not necessarily the highest number, but in this day and age, it's a pretty high number. We've gone through some pretty significant trials in our marriage. Kelly's gone through some more than I have. But having God woven into our threefold cord helps relieve the strain that we suffer. We've struggled. We've rejoiced countless times together. We pray for one another in our marriage. We've resisted the urge to drink them in the middle of the night. Kelly knows me better than anybody in this room, where I was raised by my parents, and they knew me best as a child, and my sister, who had a jet out of here because she had work. My wife and I have poured into one another for the last 20 years. Kelly knows that I like psychological thrillers. Silence of the Lambs, you guys ever hear that? She's not so big a fan. One Valentine's Day, I get a text message from her. It says, roses are red, lotion is for skin. It will be my Valentine, or else it gets the hose again. I love it. I never forgot it. I keep it. We have our own sense of humor, to the point to where my mom has texted me after a visit and been like, are you and Kelly doing okay? But she's texted me and said, I love you till your unsolvable murder do us part. She gets me. It is, though, right? It is. I said it already, but people, believers in particular, were not meant to live this life alone. Our circumstances may be different. They may come at different times, but if we make every intention to yoke ourselves equally with somebody else, If we surround ourselves at home, work, and in life with somebody who will help you carry those struggles, you will be all the more successful. Especially if you're working toward the Lord, and if one of those strings is the Lord. So I ask yourself today, if you're married, are you and your spouse equally yoked? Focus on the Lord, woven threefold with Him, and keeping each other at pace. If not, work on that. Pray first, then work on that. Are you the same person at work or school that you are at home or church? Do people there know where your values lie? Do you truly hold those values, or are you playing a part here and are really that person there? I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying these are questions that need to be asked. Do you have spiritually sound friendships? Like I said, guys, don't say, oh, my wife, me, her, and the Lord, and we got it together. Because there are times I've heard where people have trouble with their spouses. Who do you talk to when you have trouble? Yeah, no, you guys are too new. You don't have that problem. Who do you talk to when you're having trouble at home? Who do you ask for prayer when you're having trouble in the house? You need that connection outside. Do you and your friends help each other grow toward the Lord? Are you hiding anything from them? Do they have permission to ask you about anything? Anything? If we're best friends and we're Christian, you have absolute access to ask me anything. Joe, you did a great job on Sunday preaching, which is, I'm sure, what everyone's going to say. But I noticed Monday you were walking out of that Motel 6 with a woman I didn't recognize. Who was that? My friends, and pretty much any believer, has the right to ask me that question. And if I don't have the answer, or a good answer, the right to challenge me on it. That brings me to my last one. The other one that people like to burn in the wood, or hang up on a sign, or the guys will wear the shirts and name their men's group after it. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. It's a beautiful saying, and it's true. Think about this, if you haven't already. When iron sharpens iron, it is abrasive. It causes sparks. This is not a pleasant process. It's beautiful in that it's effective, and it makes both pieces of iron stronger and more effective. You have to be willing to allow a fellow believer, ladies, when you're with each other, sharpen one another, expect sparks in an appropriate way, pray. You want to intertwine God and all that. Gentlemen, same thing. Do you have somebody? And I keep pointing this to the guys because it's my experience is the guys that are like the lone wolves, the island in the stream, you know, that like, I got this covered, I got this handled. Like, you know, God and I are good and we'll just get through it. And I don't need to talk to nobody about nothing. It's not the case. God did not design us to be singular individuals. We are a community. Yes, go forth, multiply, spread across the earth. But that didn't mean I go to China and then somebody else goes to Japan and then somebody else goes to North America. Like, there are cities and communities the whole way across. And they're supposed to be, if they're filled with believers, supposed to be filled with various multiple strands. Because your cord alone will snap. Intertwine with God, and that's great. But more often than not, in my experience, God brings a couple more strings along with him. You're having trouble in your marriage? I know there's two people that can help us. So then you got you, two others, and God, and you intertwine stronger. Every aspect. Your marriage, at work, and at home. My prayer for you and me is that we can all say, I have my support system. I have my people I can lean on. Yes, life gets tough, but we work together and are stronger together, and we can carry this load. And when I get to the kingdom, I'm going to thank the Lord for sending these people into my life.